The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
And now, The Trumpet Daily with Stephen Flurry.
Hello again, everyone, and welcome back to the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. We're back in the friendly confines of our beautiful studio in Edmond, Oklahoma, right in the midst of the hot summer months here in central Oklahoma. We had a successful personal appearance campaign. We, of course, had the live broadcast in the hotel room on Monday. Sam filled in on yesterday's show. We got back pretty late Monday night from Raleigh, North Carolina. I mentioned the facts and figures from Sunday up in Toronto. 260 people or so attended that pack, and 36 of them signed up for the follow-up Bible study. So some pretty exciting numbers there as far as the study, the interest in the study afterwards. And then in Raleigh, we had 145 people attend. We don't know all of the numbers there yet for the follow-up Bible study, but a successful event in both cities, and we'll look forward to more updates in the weeks ahead as we continue with the follow-up Bible study campaign. There's some follow-up studies out west coming up this weekend, I believe, so that's something that you can certainly keep in your prayers as we continue to go from city to city with God's truth. I think since I got back in mid-June, we've covered 9 cities so far on 4 trips, and we have another one planned in a week and a half. I think that takes us up to Detroit in Michigan, and then coming back on the way home, I believe we visit Indianapolis. So after that, I forget the dates on Chicago. But that's, I think, sometime in September. So lots more activity in the weeks ahead. This past weekend, as I mentioned, we took 6 of our AC students with us. So we had lots of lively conversation on the flights this time, and some excited students as we made our way back to the campus late on Monday night. Well, today, President Trump will be visiting the grieving communities in El Paso, Texas, and also Dayton, Ohio, just a couple of days after those horrific weekend mass shootings. 2 mass shootings that happened, I think, within 12 hours of each other. And as you heard at the top of the hour, there are plenty of Democrats who are shunning the president, telling him not to come. Of course, if he made no plans to go, they'd, of course, criticize him for that. But he's going to these grieving communities, and you have lots of people, particularly down in El Paso, saying, don't come. We don't want you here. You're part of the problem. We'll come back to this subject a little bit later on in the program, particularly from the angle that I covered on Monday on our troubled youth. Why do we see these kinds of atrocities, and what is wrong with our young people? So many of these shooters, most of them, they're in their teens or their early 20s, and then you dig into their history, as the FBI will do after the fact, and you see a lot of disturbing things. You see a lot of trouble. You see just an obsession with violence. In the case of this Dayton shooter in particular, we'll come back to that in the second segment. First, I just want to talk about this escalating trade war between the United States and China. Well, first, a trade war. Now, it looks like there's a currency war to go with it. It was just a few weeks ago that the Trump administration assured the American people that there was an agreement coming between the United States and China. But after that agreement fell through, then the Trump administration slapped a 10% tariff on Chinese goods coming into the U.S., and now China is responding. China is suspending all agricultural imports from the U.S. And so that's going to hit the U.S. farmers pretty hard. And then just this week, China devalued its currency, and it took it below this threshold that had been there for 10 years or so, 7 won to $1. And so they dipped below that threshold. And now you have commentators like Jeremy Warner at The Telegraph saying that China has essentially declared all-out economic war on Donald Trump's America. Ambrose Evans Pritchard, he had this to say: the calculated action by the People's Bank, that's in China, threatens to unleash a wave of deflation across the world and risks pushing East Asia and much of Europe into recession. It is certain to provoke a ferocious response from the White House. And so it's back and forth. It's the Trump administration slapping on the tariff and then China responding. And now how will the White House respond to this? This devaluation of the Chinese currency. Pritchard says here it means that the Chinese Communist Party is willing to risk a full-blown conflict with Washington on every economic front. Not just trade, but now currency. Every economic front. Richard was saying this morning that this is really bad, not just for the United States, but it's bad for the EU as well. They're panicking in Europe. This is going to hurt Germany's exports also. Jeremy Warner said that if China continues to allow its currency to devalue, the consequences for almost everyone, including Europe, are likely to be extraordinarily damaging. That's what we're facing. Real Clear Defense had an article that focused more on the bigger picture, which, of course, catches our attention because we understand and know, based upon prophecies like in Isaiah 23, that there's an oncoming trade war between the prophesied mart of nations, and they're going to single out the United States and Britain. And then you look at what's happening. Well, down in the Middle East, you see the United States and Britain coming together. That's a different subject. I'll touch on that here in just a second. But let me just give you a few quotes from the Real Clear Defense piece. It says, economic warfare is being fought with an intensity not seen since the period leading up to World War II. As countries deploy tariffs, embargoes, and economic sanctions to force policy changes or punish their adversaries. We haven't seen this since the 1930s. Nations punishing one another with tariffs and embargoes and such. Real Clear Defense says here, a rising tide of trade embargoes in the early 1940s was the catalyst for Japan's bombing of Pearl Harbor. It says the worry is that sanctions can lead to open conflict. This risk has been highlighted by Iran, which has warned that if sanctions prevent it from selling oil, it will forcibly stop all oil shipping through the narrow Hormuz Strait. And so, as I say, you can look at that flashpoint and see the United States, after trying to get some support from European nations, really it's only Britain. This week it was Britain who joined the U.S. in forming this international mission, as it says at the Wall Street Journal, to protect this shipping lane in the Strait of Hormuz. The journal says the latest effort represents an effort to fuse the British and American initiatives. More and more you're seeing, particularly now with the new prime minister in Britain, but more and more you're seeing the United States and Britain coming together, and they're going to be singled out. What about this prophecy in Isaiah 23, which in the short term, as I say, what China's doing, it's really hurting Europe as well. It's hurting Germany as well. And in the short run, we know there's a temporary resurgence in the United States, but what about the long term or even the medium term? Isaiah 23, as we know, talks about China, those Southeast Asian nations, and Europe coming together in a trade relationship, and they're going to shut out the United States and Britain. You read about it, as I say, over in Isaiah. And that word mart in verse 3 of Isaiah 23, it just means an emporium, trade, or merchandise. A mart of nations. And the U.S. and Britain are not going to be a part of it. My father wrote in the booklet, Isaiah's End Time Vision, we believe there may be a brief alliance between the German-led Holy Roman Empire and certain Asian powers, Russia, China, Japan, the kings of the East. They're going to come together in this dynamic market of nations, my father said. And they're going to besiege America and Britain, and you can add the Jewish nation into that mix as well. There's other prophecies, of course, to consider. Ezekiel 5, for one, warning that America's cities are going to burn with fire because of rioting and massive civil unrest. So that's where this is leading. One last quote from my father. This is from the Ezekiel booklet. It says, the U.S. and other Israelite nations are surrounded or besieged by fierce and often unfair competition. And this is what President Trump is drawing attention to. It's hard to fault him on that because he's right. Unfair competition. But it says here, further on in the booklet, as the U.S. and Britain become less and less competitive worldwide, unemployment will steadily increase. It says the United States and Britain are going to be left out in the cold as two gigantic trade blocs, Europe and Asia, mesh together and begin calling the shots in world commerce. See, they don't quite have that power or that unity yet. But as the U.S. continues on the course that it's on, well, you can see the direction. There was a representative. This happened a couple of weeks ago. I've kind of had it in my notes since, because of what he said about just the nonsense that's going on in Congress and how that Democrats, House Democrats, they now want to put a top priority on looking into White House aides' communications. They want to get all the emails and the communications going back and forth. And you have this representative from Texas. His name is Chip Roy. And he just lambasted his fellow Democrats, or rather he's a Republican. But he lambasted the Democrats across the aisle because here they are they're going on this fishing expedition, as he called it, looking for emails because they're so convinced, the Democrats are so convinced that there's just corruption through and through in the Trump administration. They won't let it go. Russia, 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 constantly these past 3 years. Well, he spoke up, Mr. Roy did, and told them, you're doing all of this, and look at what we're doing to our children. Look at the financial burden we're putting upon our young people. Here's a clip from, I think this was about 2 weeks ago. He's calling attention, Representative Roy, to this fishing expedition, even as we're being besieged by all of these troubles and problems. Clip one.
They're not patrolling the border. We're not doing anything to stop and deal with the problems that we've got with cartels managing the border. And we're sitting here in a fishing expedition for emails, alleging that we're trying to do that in compliance with the law that's being complied with. In what universe is this what we're supposed to be doing for the United States of America, for the people of this country, who are watching their country racking up mountains of debt, $320 billion over existing spending levels, which would still give us a $1 trillion deficit?
That's Representative Chip Roy. He comes from Texas, and from what I've read, he has a pretty close relationship with Ted Cruz, who has also spoken out a time or two over the last few years. But he went on to basically mock Congress for all of these fishing expeditions when you've got these other real-world troubles that are mounting. Clip two.
Well done, Congress. Well done. And you're going to have that kind of level of spending while we've got wide open borders. What are we doing for the people of the United States? I'm going to be told, oh, we're protecting the law. The law is being complied with. When instead what it is a fishing expedition for political purposes, which we saw on high display yesterday in the room next door, where we got nothing other than dawdling responses about an incompetent effort. And here we sit, mounting up debt for our children and grandchildren. My 9-year-old son is in this room. We all have families. What are we passing down to them? $100 million of debt per hour? It's extraordinary. Wide open borders, destroying communities, endangering lives of Americans in South Texas while I get smirks from my Democratic colleagues, while there are people right now facing attacks from cartels, dealing with it on a daily basis, and we get smirks and we get requests for emails from people in the White House. This is the face of the Democratic Party. This is the face of your Congress today, America.
That's an outspoken representative from Texas, Chip Roy. And they're going to be going after him during the next election to try to take him out because he's speaking too much common sense. In fact, what he said there, this, of course, was before those mass shootings. But now you would look at Democrats and probably say, well, that rhetoric is what caused the mass shooting. That's what they're accusing President Trump of, because he's talking about the wide open borders. You can't even talk about it now, I guess. Democrats used to talk about it even a few years ago. But now you can't bring it up. Otherwise, you're accused of being the root cause of that atrocity we saw on Saturday evening. Well, we'll keep an eye on Mr. Roy and see if he has any other comments in the weeks and months ahead regarding the priorities or lack thereof of the U.S. Congress. When we come back, we'll get back into these mass shootings and the trouble that we're seeing so many of our children getting involved in. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. If you'd like to email the program, you can send comments to td@kpcg.fm. We'll be right back.
This is KPCG-FM, and this is the Trumpet Daily.
A turning point in recent history has gone almost entirely overlooked. Since that time, an unseen cause has brought about national and world troubles in unprecedented fashion. Crises are intensifying as never before. In our generation, we are seeing radical changes to culture, family, education, religion, science, finance, politics, international relations. Everything has been affected. You cannot understand events without recognizing this unseen cause. The United States has been shaken in astonishing fashion. Have you wondered why the world's number one superpower is declining so rapidly? Are you concerned about where the current administration is leading this country? The Bible provides penetrating insight into the invisible cause of society's decline. America is prophesied to fall before it rises again. The Bible also gives extraordinary insight into how that fall will come about. This insight puts the seriousness and urgency of current events in their true perspective. Understand what's in store for America and why. Visit thetrumpet.com and click on the literature tab to request this free, enlightening booklet, America Under Attack.
The Trumpet Daily.
Last week on this program, we had a show about the obsession that young people, so many of them, have with video games. And then we talked about just the prevalence of horror movies the next day. And these are just two examples. Somebody emailed me after those two shows and said, well, you should also talk about an even worse addiction, the addiction to pornography. And that's certainly a problem as well. and all of these problems and troubles, they're just worsening. The more the FBI is digging into the background of these shooters, the one up in Dayton in particular, they find that he had an obsession with violence. An obsession with violence. This is from Vice. It says, before he killed 9 people in a mass shooting in Dayton, Ohio, early Sunday, Connor Betts was deeply involved in misogynistic, male-dominated gore grind or porno grind extreme metal music scene. So here's another new thing, I guess. It has a regional following in the Midwest and is known for sexually violent, death-obsessed lyrics and dehumanizing imagery depicting women. So they sing about this, and I guess that's no problem. Over the past year, it says, the 24-year-old shooter occasionally performed live vocals in the band Minstrel Munchies, which released albums titled 6 Ways of Female Butchery and Preteen Daughter Slaughter, with cover art showing the rape and massacre of female bodies. So isn't that nice, this young man filling his mind with that sort of thing? Obsessed with violence, obsessed with pornography, and out singing, I guess, in some kind of gore grind band. Singing about these themes. Day in and day out, CNN had an interview with this young man's ex-girlfriend, and she talked about his fascination with mass shooters. This is from CNN yesterday, clip 3.
Adalia Johnson, 24 years old, she dated Connor Betts from January until May, broke off that relationship this May because of a stalking incident that she recalled on another ex-girlfriend of the shooters. She told me that Connor had shared with her suicidal thoughts, Jake, that he admitted putting a gun in his mouth in the past, and on their very first date, shared with her video of a mass shooting.
He was interested in what makes terrible people do terrible things.
Mass shooting?
Yeah. And he knew that they were bad, and he knew that they were horrific. And he wanted to know what led a person to do those things.
He was fascinated by the minds of mass shooters. Showed his girlfriend footage of a mass shooting. Singing in the so-called gore grind band about rape, about murder. What is happening to our children? There was a story in the BBC this week about child parent abuse doubling in 3 years. This is children attacking their parents, and it's increased. It's doubled in just 3 years in the UK. That's Isaiah 3. That's Isaiah 3 being fulfilled. The number of reported crimes involving children attacking parents has doubled in the past 3 years. Listen to this example. It says, Helen, a single parent from South Yorkshire, has called the police 3 times to deal with her 11-year-old daughter. 11 years old, this girl. She'd hit me in the car while I was driving. She'd grab me by the throat while I was driving along, and she'd hit her brother in the car, Helen said. The last time I made a 911 call because she was attacking me that much that I sat behind the door while she was trying to get through it to get at me. You see story after story of these youths struggling along with things like suicide, depression, violence, addictions, video games, horror movies, pornography. Well, first, you should know that it's prophesied. I said Isaiah 3. You can go look at those first 12 verses or so from Isaiah 3. And you see it being fulfilled in our nations today. Over in 2 Timothy 3, It says in verse 13 that evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. We played that clip on Monday from the Texas lieutenant governor, who said that, well, America's always had guns, but we haven't always had these violent atrocities, these horrific mass shootings. So what's happened? What's happened to our culture? What's happened to our nations? What's happened to our families? Well, there's been a total breakdown in the family. And here the Apostle Paul talks about human nature. It's always been there. But look, Satan's been cast down. Satan and his demons are confined to the earth. And now human nature is just running its course. The temper tantrum is just playing out as young people get on stage to sing about rape and murder and violence of all kinds. Evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. Earlier in the chapter, verse 7, it says, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. This is the great paradox that Herbert Armstrong talked about, the paradox of the past century. All of this materialistic knowledge, quite an upsurge in that department, technological advances and such. And yet we drift further and further from the truth, God's knowledge, the great paradox of our time. Paul says in verse 1, this know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. It's going to be very dangerous in the last days. You just don't know where the next mass shooting will be. There's a story on Drudge right now about a motorcycle backfiring at Times Square. And then people running for cover because they thought it was a gun. They thought it was another shooting. And so you have American cities on edge because you just don't know when the next young man, usually they're young men, obsessed with violence, sex, pornography, rape. You just don't know when the next young man is going to shoot up a crowded event, city, or shopping mall, whatever it is. In the last days, perilous times shall come. Dangerous, dangerous times. Listen to Herbert Armstrong. He said, since it's a basic truism that a solid family structure is the foundational bulwark of any stable and permanent society, this fact means only one thing. Civilization as we know it is on the way down and out. Unless that great unseen hand from someplace soon intervenes and saves today's sick society. We're on the way down and out. Because the foundation of any stable or permanent society, that's the family structure. When that crumbles, society goes with it. And that's what we're seeing. Why won't they talk about it? Why won't they bring it up? You have a few that bring up video games and they're shouted down. Oh, okay, video game. You're going to go into video games again. I see. No, it's not that. It's Donald Trump. Look, the focus here is on Donald Trump. He's the problem. He's the cause. We won't look at the cause, the real cause, the root causes. Civilization is on the way down and out, God says. He said that through Herbert Armstrong. He said it through the Apostle Paul. Verse 2 says, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents. What? Now it's so bad that they're attacking parents. That's on the rise. Now a parent can't touch a child. Oh no, the UK authorities would be sure to lecture parents, don't you dare touch that child. Don't you dare apply any kind of discipline. And now look where we are. The children are hitting the parents. And that's doubled in the last 3 years. Disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent or without self-control, fierce, despisers of those that are good. No self-control. The word means powerless. We just have no power over the self. It's just human nature, as I say, running its course. Led by the power and the influence of Satan the devil, Ephesians 2 and verse 2. This certainly isn't God's world. Mr. Armstrong asked in 1983, what's wrong with the younger generation? He was asking this almost, what would that be, almost to two generations ago, certainly a one generation ago. He was asking, what is wrong with the younger generation? He said this, most youngsters were not taught self-discipline. They were not trained in self-control. He said the greatest handicap to the younger people today is their utter disregard for self-control. They have been permitted to grow up following desire instead of duty. Given rein to impulse and inclination instead of using judgment. They have formed the disastrous habit of being led and controlled by their whims, their passions, their fancies. It says consequences are seldom weighed or considered, and still less seldom heeded. The question isn't should I, but do I want to? That's what matters today with so many young people. Well, do I want to? Do I feel like doing it? I've been thinking about this for some time. I'm fascinated with the minds of mass shooters. I want to look at the footage. I want to sing about it. I want to sing about abusing women. And then he goes out and carries out the fantasy. And it's the same with the El Paso shooter, as I said the other day. I'm living out my Call of Duty fantasy. I'm living it out, this video game. They won't focus. The news media won't focus on those words from the manifesto. Because you can't blame video games. It's just a game. Mr. Armstrong said, there's no control of self. When power is uncontrolled, then the greater the power, the greater the potential danger. See, these young people, they do have access to some powerful, powerful weapons. And when power is uncontrolled, you have a greater potential danger. Mr. Armstrong, just to switch over to missing dimension and sex, he asked towards the end of that book, why all this violence, this immorality? Why is it happening? Again, Mr. Armstrong, he gave us answers to these questions. He told us why. Nobody else knows today. Listen to them go back and forth. Listen to them argue about why these events happen. You have plenty of people. I saw a tweet this morning listing out all the mass shootings over the last few years and then crying out, nothing's done about it. We've got to do something. Usually it means gun control. Well, there are a lot of guns in the United States. There's no getting around that. And it does make for a toxic brew when you consider what's happening, what our young people are filling their minds with. But instead of concentrating on that problem, the cause, we just want to deal more with the effect. Why all this violence, this immorality? He says, here is the cause. So here it is. Human nature, which is vanity, without any purpose, and absence of parental training and discipline. So human nature, without any purpose, in other words, there's just this state of hopelessness and despair. There's no purpose in life. An absence of parental training, so there's true education, starting in the home, and then it should continue on in the elementary grades, high school and so on, higher education. Then he says the absence also of discipline. There's no discipline. And so we're seeing temper tantrums. They're just playing out until it finally results in mass, in the extreme cases, mass murder. Mr. Armstrong says, there's no sense of purpose today. We're told we must adjust to living in a world of problems and no solutions. Nuclear war, the erasure of human life from the earth, appears to be just around the corner, liable to strike us at any second. Young people today are given nothing to live for, no hope, no future. They're more prosperous than ever, but they're bored. They're rebellious. The spirit of revolt is in the air. They resent all authority. They have all these things. They can get all these video games. They can watch any movie. But they're bored and rebellious, it says. The spirit of revolt is in the air. Again, keep in mind, Satan is the prince of the power of the air. He's confined now to this earth. But just think about one of those 4 points Mr. Armstrong brought out. This state of hopelessness. There's no hope for young people. My father wrote in the God Family Vision book, Richard brought this to my attention from Ed Stone. He said, this world desperately needs the message God has given us to deliver. There's so much sadness in this world. Hannah, this is about the section in 1 Samuel, Samuel's mother, Hannah. It says, Hannah said that the woman with many children is waxed feeble. The Hebrew means to droop or hang down the head or a drooping heart. As tragedies in the world increase, a mother with many children who doesn't know about Elohim, that's the Hebrew word for God. The mother that doesn't know about the Elohim vision, she will be bereaved. He says, look at what's happening to our children today with the drugs and the violence in schools. He says, yes, many women are hanging their heads. Although they may have children, there's something missing. Do they know about Elohim? Do they know about the God family? If they do, are they heeding what Elohim says so they can become a part of his family? It makes all the difference, doesn't it? Bringing your children into the God family vision. You know, both of these campaigns, by the way, the one in Toronto, there's a family on their way into the church. There's just a few remaining obstacles to clear before they're invited in. And they have several children, I think 4 or 5. Anyway, the 14-year-old, one of the oldest of their children, she asked if she could come to the campaign. And she wants to go to the Philadelphia youth camp. She's not even a member in the church, but her parents are starting to teach her. Or I should say her parents aren't members yet. They're not even attending. But they're starting to teach her, and she's getting excited about it. There was another example in Raleigh, a 13-year-old boy. He had a stack of literature tucked under his elbow. He was there with his mom. It is possible. It is possible to get our young people, our children, grounded in this God family vision. If we're dedicated and faithful ourselves and doing what we need to be doing to give them proper training. Remember, why the cause? Why the violence and the immorality? Mr. Armstrong said, human nature is the cause without any purpose, an absence of parental training and discipline. So if you reinsert parental training and discipline and give them purpose
and teach them about God's way,
you can get them right back on track. My father says this is the message God has been teaching man from the beginning, all the way back to Samuel and even before, to the very first man and woman. It says, on the other hand, Hannah said that if you are barren and you go to God and try to understand this, he'll give you seven children. Your joy will multiply. What a blessing children are, or at least should be. That's what the psalm says. They're a blessing because God's a family. Here's a new study. 9 in 10 British young people think their lives are meaningless. 9 in 10. It's up to 89%. They think their lives are meaningless. There's the hopelessness and the despair. And so they're out there, they're searching for anything that they can latch on to. A couple people sent me a clip to this Democratic Socialist Convention. And you listen to it at first and you think, well, it surely must be a joke. But here's a room full. This is the future of the Democratic Party. Here's a room full of young people just carrying on about all of this nonsense, things that trigger them, things that upset them. The Daily Caller put together a montage from this Democratic Socialist convention. And listen to some of the highlights or the lowlights. Here's clip four.
Guys, first of all, James Jackson, Sacramento, he, him. I just want to say, can we please keep the chatter to a minimum? I'm one of the people who's very, very prone to sensory overload. There's a lot of whispering and chatter going on. It's making it very difficult for me to focus. Please, can we just, I know it's, we're all fresh and ready to go, but can we please just keep the chatter to a minimum? It's affecting my ability to focus. Thank you.
Thank you, comrade. Okay, is there a speaker against name,
point
chapter, pronoun?
Privilege. Point of personal privilege.
Yes.
Please do not use gendered language to address everyone.
Quick point of privilege once again. Quick point of privilege once again. Hi, James Jackson, Sacramento DSA, he, him. I have already asked people to be mindful of the chatter of their comrades who are sensitive to sensory overload, and that goes double for the heckling and the hissing. It is also triggering to my anxiety. Like, the be comradely doesn't isn't just for, like, you know, let's keep things civil or whatever. It's so that people aren't going to get triggered and so that it doesn't affect their performance as a delegate, okay? Your need to express yourself is important, but your need to express yourself should not trump or over, like...
I see that no one's clapping for me. It could be because I'm not engaging, but it also is because everyone's doing this, and that's really important, because those loud bursts of noise, even though this is a noisy space, when we can do something like reducing that, that's really important. So please don't clap, shoot up these. We have a lot of disabled comrades, and a lot of those are invisible disabilities. You don't know who it is that is having a more difficult time navigating this space, and this space was not created with all of their needs in mind. So it's up to us to modify that space to make sure that everybody is able to move in the ways that they need to move. And additionally, with the noise issue, like, avoid hissing, avoid waving banners, right? Because there's all sorts of things. If you don't know what to do, show up these, right? I'm sure there's lots of ways that we can communicate to each other without needing to rely on something that's going to hurt somebody else. We have quiet rooms that are available. There's a range of options of these, right? Please don't go into that space with anything that's like an aggressive scent, for instance, right? Because we don't want to put people in stressful situations that they don't consent to, right? And there are right-wing infiltrators who are trying to get in here, but it's going to be really traumatic for people if we're not making an affirmative effort to de-escalate each other and de-escalate ourselves, right? Take a deep breath. And feel better before you say anything.
That's an example of a lot of young people who are really bored. They should be doing anything other than that convention. This is why there's no hope in their future. 9 out of 10 British youths. I mean, that's Britain. This is a Democratic Socialist Convention here in the U.S. these young people complaining about sensory overload, or the gendered language, or aggressive sense of all things. Mr. Armstrong, if you go again, just think on or meditate on that passage in The Missing Dimension in Sex. Human nature is the cause, which is vanity, he says, without any purpose and absence of parental training and discipline. If you remove a strong sense of purpose, even if it's not necessarily aimed in the Bible or aimed by the Bible, but just having a purpose in life, like someone that just has, maybe they don't apply all the seven laws of success. Maybe they don't have the contact with God at the end. But, I mean, it used to be you would at least have people who were motivated, young people who were motivated to make something of their lives. We see a lot of that. It's disappearing. These young people who should be driven at least to be successful. And yet they have no sense of purpose. They have no real ambition. And so they're just latching on to movements like the Democratic Socialist Movement or video games or popular culture or horror movies or pornography. And they fantasize about killing. They fantasize about raping. And then we wonder why these horrific events keep happening. In his booklet, Isaiah's End Time Vision, my father refers to this verse, Isaiah 57 and verse 5, where it talks about us slaying the children. Slaying them. My father says, anciently, the Israelites sometimes physically sacrificed their own children. Today, we sacrifice our youth spiritually. When we give them no uplifting vision, if we don't give them vision, if we don't give our young people hope, first the vision, then the law. I covered this at PYC, 1 John 3, 1 through 4. If we don't give them hope, if we don't give them the vision, we're sacrificing them, spiritually speaking. He says, we sacrifice them to sexual lust and fornication. It says the internet alone does $10 billion to $13 billion worth of business in pornography every year, just in America. It's the most profitable online business. Can't talk about that. We can't look at that as a root cause. We can't look at video games as a root cause. We can't look at the family breakdown as a root cause. We just got to make it about politics, I guess. It's all politics. My father says we also sacrifice our children to demoniacal music, drugs, and greed. It says in the nations of Israel, this is done even before our youth are taught to use their minds. They get so hooked on coveting that they never even learn about the wondrous potential of our godlike minds. They just get so hooked on sin, on coveting, on lust, on pornography, on violence. And it happens at earlier and earlier ages. And their minds are warped and distorted before they even become a teenager in some cases. And then after a time, they think, well, what's the point? Where is the hope? Where is the future? You put this together again with the reality of a real spirit world. Satan and his demons being cast down to this earth. Satan deceiving the whole world. And look at television today, as I covered last week, movies, video games, the internet. Do you think the demons are having any influence there? You think about what the Apostle Paul said that we've got to do every day. Put on the armor of God. Draw near to the Father and resist against the devil. If we don't do that daily, We will be devoured. We see violence and evil spreading over this earth like never before. We've got to stand firm against it. It really does underscore, and I know I said some of this anyway last week, but it really does underscore just how important it is to fill our minds with God's truth, with this God family vision, with this hope. This hope. Philippians 4:8 says, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things." Concentrate on these things. And then Paul says in verse 9, "You've seen me. You've seen me focus on this. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you." Paul was a doer of God's word. And he was admonishing the Philippians. "You've seen my example. Now you follow in that. You be a doer." This has been a consistent theme for the personal appearance campaigns I've been a part of. Focus on doing. Paul said over and again, be a follower of me. Follow my example. Follow us, he said in 2 Thessalonians 3. Follow the ministry. Take advantage of the example that God puts in front of you. God can he can change your life for the better. He can turn it around for your young people, your children. But it has to start with you doing God's way, doing, being a doer of God's law. Colossians 3:1 says, if you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God. Seek after the things above. Seek first God's kingdom and his righteousness. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15:19, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. If we're just focusing on this present life, this physical life, if we don't have a hope for the future, we're just going to end up miserable. It's like Mr. Armstrong said, what's the cause? What's the cause of all this violence? Well, it gets down to human nature, which is vanity, without any purpose, an absence of parental training and discipline. We're not being educated in the way that we should be educated. Our young people aren't educated the way that they should be. And so that's why so much misery, so much hopelessness, so much despair. Back in Colossians 3, again, verse 2, it says, set your affection or your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. And you look at what's happening on this earth, and now more than ever, we need to be setting our minds on the things of above. We do have control over our minds. If we're drawing near to God and we're resisting against the devil, you can decide. You can choose. You do control what images or thoughts your mind dwells on. You can turn it off. You can throw it away. You can do something different. And we need to. God intended for our thoughts to govern our actions. Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So all of these violent atrocities, they spring from an evil heart. And how did that heart become evil? Well, I don't need to repeat myself going back to the missing dimension. And besides that, I'm out of time. But fill up on the things of God. Fill your mind, as it says in Philippians 4:8, with those godly thoughts. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. If you'd like to email the program, You can submit feedback to td@kpcg.fm. Thanks for joining us today, and we'll see you tomorrow.